Today on Compassion Radio.
One man came, he was a Korean, that's about all I can tell you about him, who had been accused of violating the rules of the mission. He had been sent to the seminary as a punishment. And now he was being told that because of the fact that he didn't get a high enough grade at the seminary, he was going to be sent back to Korea. And this is a serious matter for a Korean because they're a shame-based culture. And he came to us, and Koreans don't do this, but he spent hours with us in tears. I mean hours, and he was very close to suicide. Because that's what Koreans will do if they're shamed.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way. Whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States, Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Today, Bram and his wife Sandy connect with Chris and Faith Creech, a married couple who spent many years pastoring before being called to serve in ministry in East Asia. Now having returned to the United States, God has called them to be mentors to families in ministry who may be facing some of the very real issues that often come up as they seek to serve the body of Christ. This is Frank Montenegro, and here's part two of that conversation.
The Creeches, Faith and Chris Creech, thank you so much for sharing your lives with us on Compassion Radio. Welcome, friends.
Oh, thank you, Brian. We really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
I think of Canon Andrew White's maxim that he always tells young, ambitious missionaries from all of his experience dealing with sectarian violence in Iraq. When you pray for opportunity here, don't wish people to take care. Take risks. God is found in the risks, not in the falling away from the challenge.
The incredible blessings we have seen, places that we might not have gone to had we been looking to be safe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I wouldn't trade that for a second. We got friends all over the world, and they're wonderful friends, and we've really seen a great blessing in our ministry and what we've been doing. I don't think we trade that for anything.
No, of course not.
Even the new friends we made in Myanmar, as an example, so, because that was our first time in Myanmar.
So the attack that you experienced directly was a pretty important event. It's not the defining event of your lives by any means. You already had made the decision that you were willing to lay down your lives if that's what God required.
Of course, yes.
But then, of course, you're faced with the visceral expression of that. This really could have been it. Something could have gone sideways, and one of us or both of us could be dead.
Correct. Yeah.
And home free, of course, but nonetheless, your ministry on earth would have ended. So you have to take that into account. How has it helped frame or challenge you or inspire you now in the ministry you're continuing?
Bram, I would say that here's the reality. We've been in ministry for 43 years. Most of that was in pastoral ministry. I would tell you that serving as a pastor really prepared us for anything else that might come. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying for us, I find it's harder to be more culturally flexible in a new church that a pastor goes to than in going to a new country. I know that sounds strange. But pastors go through a lot of trauma, and of course, that's the background for what we do today in caring for pastors and missionaries. So for us, we were prepared.
All right. We've done a good job of covering the intro to the missions experience you both have. Let's make that pivot now. If we could continue that conversation on things that led you to missions and then what's coming from it since then, obviously they're all part and parcel of the same calling that God had in your life. And you're saying that the issue of cultural compatibility or going cross-cultural when you step across the line from being a layperson to a, as we would say in the West, a professional minister is about as big a shift as going across the world. So talk to us about that.
I gave you a little background on our lives as to what we've experienced in life. We did serve in pastoral ministry for almost 30 years, and all of our churches really grew. But the remarkable thing was, is one of those churches, I found myself being attacked continually by a group in the church that was hostile toward me, and they also attacked Faith and our daughter. It was very traumatic, to be very honest. We eventually left that church, but it became a very important experience. It's something the Lord really used as part of a series of miracles in that when we were going through that, we thought it was something we'd never be able to understand what the Lord was doing. And in retrospect, we see exactly what he was doing. It was exactly his perfect will for our lives. Because then when we went into the mission field, I began raising support. Incidentally, those who are afraid of raising support, don't be. we saw the Lord, raise our support in so many miraculous ways, and that could take hours, to be honest with you, Bram. But the Lord did it. We didn't. Mm. What happened was, as I kept running into pastors, because when you've been a pastor almost 30 years, you know a lot of pastors. I'd get in their office, and I'd talk to them when I'm raising support, and all of a sudden I realize these guys are bleeding all over me because they're telling me what they're going through. And I just heard these stories over and over and over again. And then the real shock was, we got to the seminary, and this is a major seminary in Singapore. The principal of the seminary asked me immediately to be the chaplain of the seminary, which I would gladly do because he knew all the pastoral experience we'd had. And we made Faith the chaplette. And all of a sudden, we realized something. We heard these stories about how Asians don't open up, they don't talk to you. That was not true in our case. As soon as they realized that they were safe and that I would not and Faith would not repeat any of their stories and that we loved them, they opened up unbelievably with depth of stories that were just incredible to us. And what we learned was Asians, and these were mostly Asian missionaries or pastors, but mostly missionaries, they were suffering through terrible trauma as a result of the conflicts that they were incurring in their work. The result of that was, as I went to the principal and talked to him about it, and he asked us to put together some classes to help these people because it was very widespread, almost everybody in the seminary. As a seminary, I guess the average age was about 40 years old. There were people from all over the world. There were Koreans, there were Chinese, Singaporeans, people from 18 countries in that seminary. We took some of the discipleship material I had written early on, and then we just started praying. And the Lord kept bringing people to us to help us put the material together. Someone would give us new insights, someone would give us a book to read, something would come up in quiet time that we'd see, and slowly we put together these classes which really help people deal with trauma in ministry. Most of the trauma comes from within the Christian circle. In other words, it was on mission teams or within church staff groups or within lay people, conflicts of one kind or another.
Chris, can I stop you there for 1 second to ask about what you mean by trauma? Because it could be used as a rhetorical term to say that things were difficult.
That's right.
Can you give me some context for what kind of issues?
Let me give you one example. Would that be good?
Please.
Okay, one man came. He was a Korean. That's about all I can tell you about him, who had been accused of doing something by a member of his mission team, accused of violating the rules of the mission. He had been sent to the seminary as a punishment. And now he was being told that because of the fact that he didn't get a high enough grade at the seminary, he was going to be sent back Korea, and this is a serious matter for a Korean because they're a shame-based culture. And he came to us, and Koreans don't do this, but he spent hours with us in tears. I mean hours, and he was very close to suicide because that's what Koreans will do if they're shamed. Yeah. And he was being shamed dramatically, and when I say trauma, that's not too strong a word. We saw events like that repetitively, and incidentally, we were able to help them through the classes we started teaching. And those are the type of traumatic events I'm talking about. They're not the traditional events like the one that you would describe where my wife is attacked as being traumatic. They're more events of conflict going on in the field between members of your team, either a mission team or within a church.
They're soul-destroying kind of dramas.
They're terribly destructive. Asians will not tell people what's going on in their lives until they know they're safe and they're loved. And the minute they know those two qualities are met, they will open up big time. And what we discovered was is that the problems in Asia are just as significant as they are in the West and maybe even worse.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram Floria.
Hi, friends. Summer can be an amazing time of adventure and discovery. But when you work in ministry, summer also represents something else, a real financial challenge. Now, we're not unique in that respect. Sustaining giving tends to drop in the summer months, and since we're a 100% listener-supported radio ministry, that means we have to pray hard, stretch our faith, and let our friends know the need. If you've ever been inspired by anything you've heard on Compassion Radio over the past weeks and months, we need to hear from you right away. We need to know that you're praying for us and supporting this one-of-a-kind media ministry. Let us know how much we've meant to you and help us meet our goals for outreach and special projects. You can do that with your gift today. Thanks so much. I look forward to hearing from you soon.
If you'd like to support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2425. 800-868-2478 right now or go to CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. If you'd like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
We heard these stories about how Asians don't open up, they don't talk to you. That was not true in our case. As soon as they realized that they were safe and that I would not and Faith would not repeat any of their stories and that we loved them, they opened up unbelievably with depth of stories that were just incredible to us. And what we learned was they were suffering through terrible trauma as a result of the conflicts that they were incurring in their work. The result of that was, as I went to the principal and talked to him about it, and he asked us to put together some classes to help these people because it was very widespread, almost everybody in the seminary. At the seminary, I guess the average age was about 40 years old. There were people from all over the world. There were Koreans, there were Chinese, Singaporeans, people from 18 countries in that seminary. We took some of the discipleship material I had written early on, and then we just started praying. And the Lord kept bringing people to us to help us put the material together. Someone would give us new insights, someone would give us a book to read, something would come up in quiet time that we'd see, and slowly we put together these classes which really help people deal with trauma in ministry. Most of the trauma comes from within the Christian circle. In other words, it was on mission teams or within church staff groups or within lay people conflicts of one kind or another.
Chris, can I stop you there for 1 second to ask about what you mean by trauma? Because it could be used as a rhetorical term to say that things were difficult.
That's right.
Can you give me some context for what kind of issues?
Let me give you one example. Would that be good?
Please.
Okay, one man came. He was a Korean. That's about all I can tell you about him, who had been accused of doing something by a member of his mission team, accused of violating the rules of the mission. He had been sent to the seminary as a punishment. And now he was being told that because of the fact that he didn't get a high enough grade at the seminary, he was going to be sent back to Korea, and this is a serious matter for a Korean because they're a shame-based culture. And he came to us, and Koreans don't do this, but he spent hours with us in tears. I mean hours, and he was very close to suicide because that's what Koreans will do if they're shamed. Yeah. And he was being shamed dramatically, and when I say trauma, that's not too strong a word. We saw events like that repetitively, and incidentally, we were able to help them through the classes we started teaching. And those are the type of traumatic events I'm talking about. They're not the traditional events like the one that you would describe where my wife is attacked as being traumatic. They're more events of conflict going on in the field between members of your team, either a mission team or within a church.
They're soul-destroying kind of dramas.
They're terribly destructive. Asians will not tell people what's going on in their lives until they know they're safe and they're loved. And the minute they know those two qualities are met, they will open up big time. And what we discovered was is that the problems in Asia are just as significant as they are in the West and maybe even worse.
Yeah.
We put these classes together. I wrote my book called Toxic Church. That's when the Lord helped us to understand why the pains of the past we'd gone through and the experiences we'd seen, the lives we'd had, were now fitting into this program of developing materials which help people deal with those struggles in ministry because they're everywhere.
Was this before Faith's attack or after Faith's attack?
Oh, no, way before. We started developing discipleship materials for international people in Toronto. We started that church beginning 1980. So we took those materials, transferred them to the seminary when the principal asked me to teach some courses that would help people. But what we did is through prayer, we saw the Lord keep doing miracle after miracle of adding material to the course.
And Faith, how were you involved in the course of all this? What kind of input did you have as a woman to reach these seminary women as well that were being traumatized?
I helped Chris because I mentored these women. I led small groups. I mentored the pastor's wives, and I mentored single seminary students. So probably about 30 women altogether I mentored while we were in Singapore. Also, when Chris and I led these classes together, I would take the women separately and he would take the men separately because, you know, of course, a man can't mentor a woman.
So can you give us an example of the changes that were happening there?
I can tell you as far as some of the women, and then Chris can give you some examples of the men.
Okay.
One couple that we mentored together, and I mentored the wife for about 3 years and Chris mentored the husband, but they were missionaries in North Korea. It was really hard for them because they were on the North China border, right between North China and North Korea. And so he would sneak across the border all the time. And she would never know where he was. She would always fear for his safety because she, for months on end, she'd never know where he was.
And that's trauma in itself.
Of course it is. And so she was in my mentoring group. She would just share about how this was always so hard for her. But trust in God, of course, was there. Just having the time just to share and to be able to have someone listen to her and to be share with other women and just to be able to take our class was just a real help for her, just learning how to trust the Lord. So, you know, that's just one example. And Chris can give you some more.
You want another example?
Yes.
Yes, that'd be great.
Okay, we got lots of them. Here is probably one that I would share with you that occurred more recently, and I can give the country name. We were in Thailand, and we were asked to come and teach our series of lessons at a missionary training school. We found 22 missionaries were there. They were all Chinese nationals, and they were all missionaries either in the Middle East or in North Korea. And they'd all been sent to this missionary training school because they were failing in the mission field. They were, frankly, being crippled by relationships with their teams and also just depression. So when we got to the group, we discovered that of the 22 that were there, the only way I could describe the place is it was a very morose attitude. I described it later on, as they said, it's a missionary training camp. I said it felt more like a prison camp. The director of the school had told us he was going to make sure they were going to go back and be great missionaries by making certain that they learned how to discipline themselves. And they were sleep-deprived, food-deprived. It was really a terribly abusive situation, so I began teaching lessons. Faith began mentoring the women. I began mentoring the men. And in the course of a few weeks, we saw a dramatic change. Three of the people were suicidal, very, very close to suicide. All three of them did major turnarounds. Now we prayed, and the Lord gave us a Mandarin-speaking Christian counselor, and we were able to raise some money while we were there to make certain that counselor would have enough funds to take care of those people when we left them. But now we got 22 students, and the remarkable thing was the change of attitude that took place in that school, because whereas when we got there, it was like a prison camp. They would never laugh or smile. The Chinese were now laughing. They were smiling. The men were doing things Chinese men don't do. They were hugging each other. It was just a totally different place. You just could not believe the atmosphere and how it changed and how they were enjoying life. And one of the directors of the school came to us at the end and said, "We now realize what we were doing wrong in this school." And that I consider to be the greatest miracle of that time, was that change in the director's life.
So what is the main message that you're teaching to these people? You have a specific thing that you begin with and then you expand on it? Or is it just about sharing love and acceptance with them?
Love and acceptance is the biggest thing, but that's couched in biblical lessons. A very quick overview. Now in Genesis 1 through 11, there is a process in which the sins of the fathers become apparent to the next generation. And we go through examples of Adam, Cain, and Lamech, and we point out how there are addictive processes at work due to the fall, which cause people to value themselves on the basis of their ability to control others. Mm-hmm. And just teaching that lesson frees people dramatically because they can say, oh, that's why I'm being treated the way I am. Because what happens is they take responsibility themselves. It's kind of like when Adam blamed Eve.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when a controlling personality realizes something is going wrong. They don't take responsibility. They blame the people in their charge. And so the result, because of our own backgrounds we have experienced, we'll often accept those charges and we start blaming ourselves. And that's why they were becoming suicidal. There was no hope. Mm-hmm. And of course, Chinese are very shame-based as well. If they left the school, what's the only out? Well, for many of them, they felt like it was suicide. So we teach that lesson. We also teach biblically what principles need to be applied in their lives so that they can avoid that kind of pain in the future. And there are several major biblical principles that we teach. And then we mentor in groups, in small groups, and also individually. We have people look at their backgrounds, what's happened in their lives, And even the men, there are boxes of Kleenex that they empty out, and the women just, it's just unbelievable what comes out. They share their backgrounds and they understand why it is they're willing to accept that kind of treatment from others and what they can do biblically to respond in a proper Christian way. Asians don't confront. They just don't do it. We teach them the true biblical principles of confrontation, which they can apply.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, they have an escape mechanism. So when we leave, they know what to do. They know how to handle it. They know why they have not been able to handle the problems in the past because of their own family of upbringing issues that haven't been dealt with.
Isn't it interesting how the enemy uses something that's culturally accepted to bleed over into our Christian faith and just say, well, that's just the way we are. That's just the way we grew up. That's the way we behave. And there's no way out of it. And how God's truth can come in and shine a light on that lie and transform people into full realization of who they are in Christ and where he's called them to be in the ministry. I think that's beautiful what you're doing.
Well, and I would add to that, Sandy, good insight you've mentioned. I just put it this way. Satan, it worked good in Genesis 3, and he hasn't changed his method.
Mm-hmm.
It works, and we buy into it.
Right.
Because of the power of the fall.
As we wrap up this segment of the program, Chris, I want to remind our listeners that what we're talking about is not replacing a shame-based Eastern culture with a open, liberal Western culture.
Oh, no,
what we're talking about helping them do is to step into kingdom culture, which is supernatural, which is eternal, and which supersedes all of these other cultures on the earth that are mere shadows of what God intended in real relationship and real community. So what you're stepping into yourself is something that might even be new for you because it supersedes even our own Western liberalism. And I think you've done a marvelous job at threading that needle to find out where the real kingdom questions are, where the real soul healing needs to happen. And we're proud of you for that. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing on this program before we wrap it up, and that's simply to pray over us, thanking God for what he's been doing through your ministry and the continuing spiritual challenges there in South and East Asia, and perhaps even a word or two about how God can attack the root problems we have in our own Western liberalized culture. Could you do that for us?
Sure, I'd be glad to, Bram. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the opportunity you've given Faith and I to sit and visit with Bram and Sandy. It's a dear privilege, and we're grateful to you for all the life experiences you've given to us. And I am well aware of the fact, Lord, that there are a lot of suffering people, not only in Asia, but also here in the West. You've given us the opportunity to minister to them as well. I'm grateful to you for that. And I just pray, Lord, your blessing upon the ministry that you've called us to. We're so grateful to you that in our later years of life, you've given us the best years of ministry. Thank you, Jesus.
Chris, Faith, thank you so much for spending this time with us on Compassion Radio.
Thanks, Bram.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sandy.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now today, when you support Compassion Radio financially, we're going to send you a copy at your request of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms and Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy at your request today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.